Sandy Caldwell from Quilt Cabana Corner. I hope you're having a super day, and thanks for joining me. Today we're going to be discussing the So Easy Table, the results from the podcast research questions that I put out on Twitter and Facebook. I'm also going to be telling you about some new patterns I have on Craftsy and Etsy, and we'll talk a little bit about fabric dyeing, and also we have a very quick magazine roundup, just one magazine this time, so grab your coffee and pull up a chair and join me. And I forgot, I also want to talk a little bit about my scrapbooking retreat that I attended at the end of February in Mystic, Connecticut. So we might as well just start with that. Every year, my girlfriends and I head to Mystic, Connecticut for a retreat that is put on by Croptopia Getaways. It's run by a girl named Susan Shallow, and she does these scrapbooking retreats all over the country. She is one of the sweetest people I've ever met, totally goes out of her way to make it so much fun for everyone who's there. And the Marriott in Mystic is gorgeous. It's just an awesome place to be. There's an Elizabeth Arden spa there. There's a Starbucks right in the lobby. What more could you want? So anyways, this year was a little different because my family came down to join me on the second night of the trip. We leave on Friday and we come back on Sunday. So Friday night was great all day Friday. I did my scrapbooking. Friday night, I had a room all to myself, which usually doesn't happen because normally it's two or three of us in the room. And this time it just worked out that the dates fell on February vacation. So my friend Heather and I decided to have our families come down. We'd each book a single and then have the families come down for the Saturday night. And we figured we'd be ready to take a break from scrapping by Saturday night to go out for dinner with them. And while we were scrapping, we figured they could go see the sights in Mystic, maybe do the aquarium and the shops, use the hotel pool and whatnot. So Heather and I went down, but once we got there, my sister-in-law and my husband's cousin was there and a whole other group of friends that had also came down were there, and we also had some moms from my hometown were there. So it was great because I got to see a lot of people and I got to see what everyone was working on. Now, typically, this retreat has like 250 scrapbookers at it. And this time it was decidedly smaller, probably by half. So we were trying, of course, to speculate, ooh, why was the registration not where it usually is. But I think the fact that it fell on February vacation, the last weekend of it, probably had a lot to do with that. And also, the economy. Scrapbooking stores are closing all over the country. Quilting stores we know are closing too, so it could be that money was tight this time around, or just the vacation factor, I'm not really sure. But I think I scrapped 30 pages, which is awesome for me. I'm working on my scrapbook album of our California trip, not from this past summer, but the one before. And I'm dying to get back to it now that all my stuff is out and I remember at what point I left off, so hopefully I can get some scrapping in there too. And like I said, the retreat is run by Susan Shallow. She's at croptopiagetaways.com. She also does cruises, very similar to the quilting stuff. The food is excellent. We're fed very well down there, and there's always tons and tons of prizes that are just given away every couple of hours throughout the whole weekend. And they're great prizes too. I won an awesome pair of scissors. So anyways, thanks to Susan. It was just a fabulous, fabulous time. I wouldn't say it's relaxing because we're all so geared up to get our pages done, but it's relaxing in the sense that I'm not cooking or cleaning. So that's always fun. And the families did come down and we had a nice meal out, and they went to the shops but didn't stay long because there was a chowder festival going on and every store down there was offering clam chowder of some sort. The stores are small to begin with, so it was hard to maneuver in and out, and they didn't know whether they were in a line to get in the store or in a line to taste chowder, so they came back and used the pool, and that all worked out great. So that is the lowdown on my scrapbooking retreat, and I will be attending again next year, which is their 10th anniversary. So that's it for scrapping. Let's move on to McCall's Quick Quilts, which is the April-May 2012 issue. And when I opened it up to page 16, if you follow Pam Kitty Morning, someone has done a beautiful quilt using Pam Kitty Morning's fabrics. It's called Kitty Bells, and it's designed by Holly Holderman, and it's super cute, just like Pam's fabrics. And on page 20, Ellie Brown has designed a really nice wall hanging using three-dimensional flowers. And there's a little lesson. It says there's a video lesson. You can watch a 3D shape being made and sewn in this step-by-step tutorial. So if you're interested in 3D flowers made out of fabric, check that out. And under the whatchamacallsit, ooh, there's something new that's really cool here. It's called Lighten Up, and it's track lighting for under your sewing machine. So if you're a person who does not have a bendable bright light or another sort of light, you could try this, which has several lights on one little strip. I'll read you the description. It says, Ecolux Lighting LED light strips will add amazing illumination to your sewing space, and they install in just seconds. Available in many sizes, each complete light kit includes the power supply cord, on-off switch, and an adhesive mounting strip and cord clips. We installed a 6-light set on the sewing machine that they're showing above, and the extra lighting was remarkable. So, does it say how much that costs? Let's see. Doesn't say a cost. We'll have to look that up, figure out. It's probably about $50, just like the other light and any other sewing machine light I've ever seen. $50 seems to be the magic number for that stuff. And then I just have one more thing in the back here. Oh, yeah. A really cute quilt. It's a summer throw for the young at heart. It's called You Are My Sunshine, designed by Heidi Pridemore. Has a piano key border with pinks and blues and purples and yellows and a big animated sun in the middle with a really cute happy face on it. So it's very cute. And that was it for McCall's Quick Quilts. So now let's move on to the Sew Easy table. Okay, so in February I treated myself to a Sew Easy portable sewing table. I had seen one at Pat Delaney's workshop, and I loved it, and I saw that she had brought it to another workshop that we were all at for my guild, and it rolls on wheels, and it her sewing machine looks to be the same one that I have, so I knew it would fit if I got one. And I also was dying to get my sewing machine off of the wooden table that's in my craft room. I don't know if you've seen the video tour of my craft room or not, which you can link to on the blog. It's on YouTube. That table, the wooden one, is awesome because it has storage underneath, but not so awesome because my knees hit against it every time I'm sewing. And I don't know, it just didn't feel the right height. Whatever, I'm spoiled. I just wanted the Sew Easy table, so there, I said it. I wanted it, so I ordered it, and it took, I don't know, maybe within 10 days for it to arrive. And I pulled up on my computer here some descriptions of it. It weighs 23 pounds, the height is 29 inches, the table width is 35 inches, and the depth is 19 inches. It's not huge, but it's perfect for me. I've set it up in the corner of my craft room, which, like I said, freed up that wooden table to actually be a desk for me to do some writing at and some designing at. So if you go on to seweasy.com, you can see photos of the table. The sewing machine slides right into it, and it has an insert that's custom made to fit your machine so that you have a flat table to work on. It does fold up at wheels. It has a nice storage bag. You just have to tell them when you order what type of a machine you have so they can make the insert. They also have a clear insert available where you can make your table into a light box, which is pretty cool. And these tables are great for classes, retreats, or on vacation, or just in your sewing room. The cost of the table is $249 plus shipping and handling. If you're in California, you have 8.25% sales tax to add. And you can order additional inserts for $45. So if you wanted to be able to use that table with two of your sewing machines, you could do that. The inserts, it says they can be set up to fit nearly all commercially available sewing machines. It contains spacers to adjust the height where required, and an accurately cut 6mm acrylic insert to match the free arm of your machine. It says there are some inserts we've already supplied on a list here where you just pick your machine number, but it says if your machine is not listed, they will produce an insert for your machine at no extra cost as long as they can access a machine to measure the template. They also have, under the template section, they have an accessory tray that you can order that's $45 that attaches to it, so you would have somewhere to put your little tools and gadgets. You can also get a solid wooden insert, again $45, to just make this a flat table. $45 for the light box insert, and then they also have a separate table that is $200, and it's just an extension table. It doesn't fit a sewing machine, so I'm very, very, very happy with it. I think it's really well made. When it arrived, because of course I was stalking the UPS man like a mad woman waiting for this thing to come, and I was hoping that it would arrive before my kids came home from school because I wanted to have a chance to set it up without worrying about the kids coming in and asking me questions or asking me to do something at the same time. So their bus arrives at 3, and this arrived at about 2:15. So I opened the box, and there were pieces, and I thought, oh, jeez, I gotta assemble this thing. But the assembly was super simple. It was very easy, and it was done by the time they walked in the door at 3 o'clock. So there is another table similar to the So Easy table, and right now I'm looking at the description of it on Amazon. It's the Arrow Sewing Cabinet Gidget 2 Sewing Table. This one is $179 on Amazon, and it's very similar, like I said. It doesn't quite look as nice as the So Easy table, but it definitely looks like it has all of the same features and functions, and it's actually a little bit wider, maybe by 5 inches. If you follow Leah Day, she has done a YouTube video on this product, so she shows you how it works and all that. And on this one, it looks like it has a little lever to raise the machine up and down, whereas the other one, yeah, platform is adjustable for different heights of machines. So instead of ordering acrylic inserts, you really can just roll this thing up and down. It says it arrives fully assembled in one box weighing 37 pounds. So if you're interested in a table, check out both of those things. Again, it's this Arrow Sewing Cabinet Gidget 2 on Amazon, and then the SewEasy.com if you want to take a look at the SewEasy table. So I would definitely recommend the SewEasy. I'm really enjoying it, and check it out if you're in the market for one. All right, so next, let's move on to some of the podcast research questions that I had asked on Twitter, Facebook, and the Big Tent. I forgot to mention the Big Tent earlier when I was talking about this. So the questions that I had put out there, the first one was, when you received your first sewing machine, were you excited or were you wondering what the heck you were going to do with it? Was it a gift or was it your own purchase? And then also, do you allow yourself to give up on a quilt project or do you make yourself stick with it? So I'm going to be reading some comments that readers left, which I love, and thank you so much for leaving me comments and participating in the research. And we'll be doing this again. I have another question. Two questions all lined up, which I will tell you afterwards. So let me just get my bearings straight here for a minute with everyone's responses, and we'll read through them. It's really interesting to hear everyone's stories. Okay, so let's first start with the answers that I received on Facebook on the Quilt Cabana Pattern page. There were two readers who left comments. The first one was Katie Ringo, and she says, the first sewing machine was chosen by my aunts for my wedding since I said I wanted one. They got me a basic Janome for simple sewing projects. It worked fine until I wanted to do way more than what it was intended for. I still have it, but it needs a trip to the shop for a tune-up. Thanks, Katie. The next one was left by Paula Haar. I hope I'm saying Haar right. It might be Haar. I'm not quite sure. My first sewing machine was a gift from my husband because his friend sold them. I still have it 44 years later, but have not a clue if it still works. I had not a clue what to do with it, but use it for an end table. That's funny. It's great that she still has it. And it would be interesting to find out if it does still work. So thanks, Paula. Okay, so then over on the big tent, we had quite a few people left comments here. Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us says, I got my first sewing machine when I got married from a friend of my mother-in-law's. It was an old machine of hers. I got married right out of college, and at that point, the only sewing I'd ever done was in high school home ec class. I remember thinking, oh, so now that I'm a wife, I'm apparently expected to sew. I appreciated her gesture, but wished it had been a different gift. That sewing machine eventually ended up in a garage sale. I'd never even gotten it out of its carrying case. It wasn't until about 10 years later that my mother's quilting finally planted a seed in me, and at that point, my mom gave me one of her old machines to start. A couple of years later, I traded that machine in with mom's blessing and help in my research for a newer, slightly more spiffy model with more bells and whistles, and now I sew on my mom's Janome 6600 that I inherited when she passed away. Regarding the second question, Sandy says she has allowed herself to give up on a couple of quilt projects, but only after a long time of grief, frustration, beating herself up over it, and other histrionics. I have found, though, that once I release myself from the bad juju, the rest of my quilt making seems to improve. So there's something to be said for being able to deep-six something for the good of our souls, laugh out loud. Yes, Sandy, you're right. It does feel good to give up on a project. And the reason why I put that question out there was because I feel like giving up on my card trick quilt. It's not that it's difficult. It just takes so much time, and I can only really ever get like 2 blocks done in a morning. And it's coming out beautiful, and I love the colors, and I'll post pictures of it when it's done, but I think I just have to allow myself to step away from that project for a little bit and work on other things. When I first started it, I didn't realize, I guess, that it was going to take so long to piece. So I do need 35 blocks, and I think I'm halfway there. So stay tuned. I'll finish it. I'm not really big on giving up on my projects because fabric costs so much money and you invest time in designing it and hoo-ha and whatnot. So, I will stick it out. I guess I'm just going to take a little vacation from it. Alright, so DDR Quilter says, my first sewing machine was an electrified Tradle Singer. It was the best gift my mother gave me, gifted in junior high years. Since I'd been sewing by hand, true Tradle, and my mother's really bad machine, I was in heaven. It was really heavy duty and heavy. It stitched only forward. My stepfather used it to sew his glider sails together. I used that machine to sew garments, including my sister's and my wedding dresses, and dorm decorating projects. I used it till my daughter was 2 years old, about 12 years later, then bought a new machine. I still have that first machine. And regarding the second question, she says, yes, Sandy, I've allowed myself to give up on a quilting project. A few I've lost interest in. Ones from technique-driven, not project-driven workshops. So, okay, thank you, DDR Quilter. These stories, they just make me want to tear up or something. I don't know. It's like, it's when people found their passion or when they thought they didn't have any interest in sewing, which is what happened to me. I received a sewing machine from my grandmother when I was graduating from high school. All of the granddaughters received one, and I promptly tucked that thing away because sewing was like the last thing on my mind at all. And it wasn't until my mother's machine broke down, she asked if she could borrow my machine, and I said, sure. Took it out of the closet, blow the dust off it, and have at it. So she did, and then a little while later, when my kids were very small, I became interested in sewing. And I still have that machine. It's a Kenmore. And I'm sure it still works beautifully. I've just, you know, gone on to need other features in the machines for designing and whatnot. So, but I'll always have that machine, and I'm thankful that I had it. Okay, so let's see. Katie's Quilting. She's has replied here on Big Tent as well. Thank you, Katie. She says, I bought my first sewing machine myself. After finishing high school, I started working, and a few years later, I bought the machine, which I paid off in a year. It was a basic machine with straight, reverse, and zigzag stitch. I was really excited about it. It was perfect for my needs, and I couldn't wait to try it out. At that point, I knew how to sew already, so it was my decision not to use my mom's Tradle Singer machine. I learned to sew on her industrial machine, which she used for sewing heavy-duty working gloves part-time. I started to use it for sewing skirts and pants for myself. She banned me from that one and offered to use her Singer, which I didn't mind. It was a lot nicer and didn't have to go to the basement to use it. I even learned to sew hooded fleece sweaters and a blouse from a pattern. I had to leave it when I moved, and my sister is still using it. It's about 20 years old now. I stayed with the brand, and both of my machines are Singers. To answer the other question, I tend to put projects aside when I get stuck, but I always get back to them eventually. There was a flannel baby quilt that I designed and miscalculated the cutting. I started it 8 years ago for my friend's brand new baby. Put it aside when I got frustrated with the wrong size cutting. I don't like to make mistakes, and I like to correct them when I do. It was laying in a box with all the fabrics for 5 years until one of my other friends had a baby boy. I lost my job that time and decided to finish up the projects I had. I found the quilt blocks in the box and finished it in a day. I also finished another project, which I started for the same friend a year before for a newborn daughter of hers. All in all, I could say that I make myself stick with them. It's just a matter of time. Agreed, Katie. I think that's where I fall into. Okay, C. Need says, I used my mom's old machine for a number of years, and I was happy to have it. I loved to sew, and my mom arranged for me to have private sewing lessons with a friend when I was in junior high. Since I liked it so much, she bought me a new machine that had a buttonhole maker, big stuff. I've only been quilting for 2 years, and I finished it after 18 months, so I guess I'll be one of those that eventually finishes things. Good for you. Okay, let's see. Three more here. So Excited Quilt says, I received my first sewing machine at 10. It was in exchange for babysitting that I did for a neighbor. I had been making my doll clothes by hand for many years and wanted to start making clothes. No one I knew was a sewer, so I was self-taught. The first project I made was a blouse for myself from a store-bought pattern. I remember it had darts in it, and when I asked my parents what darts were, they didn't know. Naturally, at 10, I didn't need a blouse with darts, but I didn't know. I think it was a white sewing machine, white being the brand, not the color. I did a lot of garment, craft, and home sewing on that machine. In regards to your second question, I finished the majority of projects, though some I may put away for months and months, hoping for inspiration to return. I am able and have decided that a project just isn't working, and if I can't find another use for the pieces already made, I have a few totes made from squares gone bad. Oh, I got a couple of those too. I scrapped the project, and that's from Jackie from So Excited Quilts. And then Robin, who's Joy by Robin, says, Hi, first sewing machine was a gift and was so excited, been sewing ever since. Sometimes I give up on a project and give it to someone who likes it, old projects that I no longer like. Other projects may get set aside for another day. I keep a spreadsheet with projects so that I accomplish more, trying to use up stash. Hope this helps Robin. Yes, it does help Robin. Thank you for sharing. And last, this is from Punk Rock Chicks 75. She says, My first sewing machine was my granny's, and my aunt gave it to me after she died. It was the most awesome gift anyone could ever have given me because it was hers. I do allow myself to give up occasionally when I've tried really hard to make it work and just can't do it, but my stick with it does kick in when I am hand quilting a quilt. I will not allow myself to stop the quilting process for more than a few days, otherwise I would never finish a single project. So that were all the wonderful, heartfelt responses from the podcast research questions. So thank you so much to everyone who participated in that. That's kind of fun to go back and see what everybody is thinking. So for the next podcast research set of questions, I have two. The first one is, what do you consider vintage to be? Is vintage for you a time period? And if so, what time period? Is vintage for you just a style? So I'm interested in knowing. I had asked my daughter what she thought vintage meant. So from an almost 14-year-old, she says vintage is anything from the mid-80s and earlier. So what do you all think? because I see an awful lot of quilts and things around, and everything says vintage. Like, everything under the sun is vintage. So, let me know. And secondly, if you follow me on Twitter and Facebook, you know that my sewing machine has gone in for a repair. Apparently, it has a problem with the take-up lever, and the thread slips off of it, causes a big, ugly, nasty mess under the stitch plate. So, I've had that machine for 2 years, going on three, I guess, and I've never had it serviced. So, I did take it over to a place a couple of towns over from me. And when I asked how much the tune-up was, she either said it was $129 or $139. I can't remember which. So, never having had taken a machine to be serviced before, the only thing I had to go by was my mom had said that when she has her Singer serviced, it's $90. So, you know, I think it's kind of pricey, but this machine, it has some digital stuff to it. So I guess maybe that's what I would expect to pay. But I am wondering, what do you pay for a tune-up and where do you live? I'm wondering if there's a price trend across the United States or in other countries. So let me know through my email, sosandy8@yahoo.com, or on Twitter under Quilt Cabana, or on Facebook under the Quilt Cabana Patterns page, or in Big Tent. Let me know, what do you pay for a tune-up and where do you live, and what does vintage mean to you? So that takes care of the podcast research results. Next, I just wanted to let you know that I have two new patterns that are digital downloads on Craftsy and Etsy. One is a nautical table runner for the summer, and the other is a holly table runner for Christmas. So if you're looking to get your summer or your Christmas on, go check that out. I just started with Craftsy, and I'm Quilt Cabana on there, so you can look it up, you know, either by holly table runner or nautical table runner. I also blogged about it today, and I will put it on my website, so go check those out. One is a digital download for $7, and the other is a digital download for $8, and as always, they are fun and fast and have fusible applique, so that is that. And lastly, I just wanted to talk a minute about fabric dyeing. For my birthday, I received all the supplies to start hand dyeing fabric. So if you've never experienced hand dyeing of fabric before, I will tell you briefly what's involved, and then you can decide if maybe you want to try it. So I had gleaned most of my information from Paula Birch's website. She's pbirch.net, I think, and she can tell you anything you want to know about hand dyeing a fabric, right down to what color dyes you should start out with when you go to purchase them. So I have blogged about this as well on my blog a few weeks ago, so you can read more about it then. But basically, I ordered all my supplies from Dharma Trading Company, which the name cracks me up because if you ever watched Lost, that TV series, they were part of the Dharma Initiative, and every food and drink and beer can was just a white label with a circle that said Dharma on it. So, I don't know. It just kind of cracks me up to order it from there. But I ordered several different colors of dye, and I ordered a few yards of prepared for dye fabric, which is what you need if you want the dye to actually react with the fibers and stay bright and not wash out. And I also ordered something called soda ash, which you mix with water and you add it into the dye bath, and that stops the dye process, and it also prevents the dye from washing out when you go to wash it several times. And the last item that I purchased from them that goes along with this is textile detergent, which is like a synthropol, where you wash the fabric in hot water after it's been dyed, and the synthropol kind of takes care of any excess dye, makes it so that it won't run in when you go to wash your project. So I'm doing low water immersion, which means you take your half yard piece of fabric or whatever size fabric and you scrunch it up real tiny in the bottom of a container. I'm using a quart yogurt container. And then you mix your dye solution. You can mix colors if you've bought the primary colors of dyes like I have, the red and blue and yellow, and you can make your other secondary colors from those. And you mix the dye with water and you pour the dye over it. And then you let it sit for like 45 minutes or an hour. And then when you come back, you add the soda ash that's mixed with another cup of water and you pour that over it and you just let that sit for about an hour. Then you go in, you line up a few buckets with water and you start rinsing the fabric out to get rid of most of the dye. And then you move it over to your washing machine. And I have been washing my pieces two or three times in the washing machine just with cold water first. And then the last wash I do in very hot water with the Synthrapol. So all the pieces I've done have been washed either three or four times. So that takes care of any problems with the dye running. Because this is low water immersion dyeing, you don't get a solid piece of fabric. This is a technique used to get random patterns and modeling and unexpected results. Every time I go in there, I don't know what I'm going to find. I've mixed a few different colors of dye in the same little cup, poured one color in first, then squished in the fabric, then poured the second cup, and I've had really pretty results with that. So it's been an awesome process, and it's a little bit addictive because I'm now thinking about what color combinations can I try. I'm asking my kids what color combinations do they want. And it's beautiful fabric. And I did run out of the Dharma fabric, so I ended up going to Joann's. And for, I think, $7 a yard, you can get the Kona Cotton PFD, prepared for dye fabric, which with a coupon, it's very reasonable. So I've been using that this time around. And I'm getting great results. And right now in my dye bath, I have a yellow piece that I have accordion folded first and clipped and put it in the dye bath with yellow. So we'll see how that comes out. You can probably check my blog later today and get a glimpse of how that one came out. So that's what I'm up to, fabric dyeing. And I always say to the kids, oh, I dyed today. We have a lot of dyeing jokes going on right now because of this fabric dyeing thing. But it's fun, and I do it right in the bathtub. It's very easy because the containers are small. It's not really messy, but you do need gloves and a smock and a little oxygen mask. Not oxygen mask. Those little dust masks that you can get at the dollar store, like 10 in a package for a buck. Just that you don't inhale those dye powders because they can fly around a little bit. So that is it. You can find me at quiltcabanapatterns.com. quiltcabanapatterns.com/blog, Facebook, Twitter, and the Big Tent. And if you are interested in some seasonal projects, go check out my book, Little Quilts for Big Occasions, which is listed in my Etsy store and also on Amazon. So that's it for today. I hope you'll get back to me with your answers to the podcast research questions, which I will now go post. So have a great day, everybody. I will talk to you later. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye now.